As the world's most isolated island area, Hawaii has a problem with invasive species. But invasive can also move from Hawaii to the U.S. mainland. Leaders from states of the American West met in Kona this week to discuss the wide range of challenges related to invasive species. One workshop dealt with the economics of how non-native flora and fauna move around our highly connected world. HPR's Ryan Finnerty has a story.
Have you ever wondered why your bags get screened before flying from Hawaii to the U.S. mainland? The answer? Fruit flies. Darcy Oishi is with the Hawaii Department of Agriculture.
One of our longest standing economic impacts for invasive species is with fruit flies. And fruit flies has resulted in the creation of a pre-clearance program. So all of you who will be leaving Hawaii experience this, where all of the material that you're taking out is getting screened as you leave. And this is all part of a system that was set up to protect the mainland U.S. from our invasive species, notably the four pest fruit fly species that are established here in Hawaii. And this creates a variety of cost issues.
The impact is most pronounced in the agriculture industry, where screening inspections drive up shipping costs. As an example, Oishi cited the millennial generation's favorite topping for toast.
I'll pick out one particular commodity that is near and dear to everyone's heart, avocado. Just getting a commodity approved for export can take years. And Charwell avocado export to the upper tier mainland U.S. actually took a tremendous amount of involvement of Senator Inouye to get this regulation on the books. And what it means now for the farmers in order to export Charwell avocados, and I'm sure the California and Florida avocado industries were embracing our Charwell avocados coming into the mainland U.S., but in order for them to export, we need to have a monitoring program established. If fruit flies, specifically oriental fruit fly, is detected, they have to then initiate a mitigation program. They had to improve their packing houses and their packing systems to include packaging that can prevent fruit fly from affecting the fruit, so another added cost. So every step of the way, the growers for this one commodity are faced with additional regulations that in the end increases economic costs and burdens, making it that much harder for them to get to market. And at the very end of the day, the number of markets that they can send to is limited because we're only allowed to ship to the upper tier continental United States. So all of this issues multiply over time. And you know, fruit flies don't just affect avocados. They affect almost everything that we ship from Hawaii. So this is the long-term burden that we're faced with in terms of the economics of invasive species control and the possession of invasive species, whether we like it or not.
Oishi says the failure to effectively screen for invasive species shifts the burden of containment to states on the receiving end, ultimately driving up food prices for everyone.
These damages have real monetary value, and we're spending a lot of money looking at these things every year.
That was Kimberly Burnett. She's with the University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization. Burnett says that focusing on preventative actions will ultimately reduce the overall cost burden to governments and businesses.
A couple of years ago, we worked with the Hawaii Invasive Species Committee to look at kind of their top five priority species. And the species that came up the most often were fountain grass. We've heard a lot about all five of these already: fountain grass, axis deer, koki frog, little fire ant, and meconia. And so what we did was not only look at the management costs that have been spent over this time period, but also tried to assess the damages, the economic damages, and see if we could monetize those. And that number came to about $83 million.
Burnett estimates that 50 years from now, those same five species could be costing hundreds of millions of dollars. She says that paying for prevention will bring long-term savings. But in the meantime, many small businesses are already feeling the pressure from costs associated with invasive species. Warren Watanabe is with the Maui County Farm Bureau. He says that Hawaii farmers once produced enough of certain crops to meet local demand and still export a surplus.
Industry has suffered major setbacks with the introduction of spotted wilt and the diamondback moth. Coal crop production included regular container load shipments to the West Coast and Canada. Hawaii was largely self-sufficient for coal crops and lettuce. Agriculture had been the king of the islands. Yet a virus and tiny moth caused this vibrant industry to buckle, and to this day, we have not recovered. Pest data showed that our local production volume has not greatly changed since the 1940s, despite demand from increased population. There are marketing issues about, but invasive species did play a role. Hawaii's economy, shored by strong export trade, was decimated as exports rejected at California due to the presence of certain pests or quarantine if others are found in the state. Lack of local production resulted in increased importation, again bringing in more pests into the islands. Farmers find themselves battling an array of pests at the same time. At any one time, fungal diseases, insect pests, and viruses, along with feral animals, need to be managed. The combination of all of these things make it very difficult for our farmers and ranchers to be viable. Unlike large-scale efforts to focus on a single pest, individual farmers cannot afford such a narrow effort, or crops and livestock will not flourish.
Watanabe also says that consumers may need to change their expectations as invasive species become more of a problem.
As global transportation has increased, we find ourselves increasingly exposed to new pests that enjoy our tropical climate, without freezing temperatures that provide a type of sanitation. Global transportation has also made it difficult to identify where our imports originate. Large wholesalers seeking year-round supplies may source their products in the United States for certain months and move to South America in others. And I think we are all guilty of wanting these types of produce on a year-round basis. And I think one of the things we need to do is go back to seasonal crop production. Consumers have a taste for new products, and we can find products from Argentina in Hawaii. Farmers face new pests without warning. Just recently, the painted stink bug affected many of our leafy greens, and the new generation software pesticides were not working.
Hawaii's coffee farmers are on the front lines of the fight against invasive species. The coffee berry borer beetle has had a major impact on Hawaii's coffee crop. Chris Manfredi is the president of the Hawaii Coffee Association.
The industry had to react very quickly with our partners. We quickly established quarantine. It was originally found in Kona in 2010. In spite of the quarantine, it rapidly spread throughout this island within a matter of months. In 2015, it was found on Oahu, 2017, found on Maui. And Kauai is the only remaining coffee-producing island that doesn't yet have it.
Quick action helped to limit the coffee berry borer beetle, and the coffee industry is now on a path to recovery, but the scars still linger.
We lost a lot of coffee farmers with that outbreak. It drove the cost of production significantly higher. And just to give you an idea, Hawaiian coffee is at a pretty significant competitive disadvantage to coffee produced everywhere else in the world. Our high cost of land, labor, transportation, inputs, all our fertilizers have to be imported, place our coffee at a position where we are, out of necessity, obligated to produce a ultra-premium product. And if we don't do that, we're not going to be in business. Coffee berry borer has degraded the quality of the coffee. We've had to revisit our Hawaii grading standards to realign them with the reality. Otherwise, we would have lost a lot more coffee farmers. But we're kind of on the bubble. Just to give you an example, a good Kona coffee will sell for approximately $20 a pound wholesale. A similar coffee from South Central America or from Africa will wholesale for about $2 a pound. So we're 10 times more. And you may think that's a windfall. I can tell you that growers are not experiencing a windfall at current pricing.
New threats are on the horizon. The fungal disease coffee leaf rust has decimated coffee-growing regions in other parts of the world. Manfredi said he doesn't know if that's something Hawaii's high-end coffee industry could survive.
When you leave Hawaii, your bags will be screened at the airport. When you come to Hawaii, your bags are not screened at the airport. We got CBB. We held on. The industry is coming back. But coffee leaf rust, I don't know if we're going to get a second bite at the apple.
I'm Ryan Finnerty for The Conversation.
If you want to learn more about other invasive species workshops from the Western Governors Association Conference, head over to hawaiipublicradio.org.